Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And man, I need to, I don't have sound effects at the ready, but I need the cash register cha-ching to celebrate some people getting the bag.
Money, 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 money.
There we go. I didn't need the cha-ching sound. I just needed you to do the sound effects. Now, I mean, the big one was Aaron Judge, but apparently he left money on the table. So I have to wonder, was Brian Cashman holding his mom hostage or something?
I have no idea, because apparently he left money on the table in two separate places too.
Yeah,
he left money on the table with the Padres and the Giants.
Is this just this is East Coast bias? He doesn't want to.
I don't know. I've been saying for months that I thought he was going to San Francisco specifically because he's from there.
Yeah.
Right. I thought he would have wanted to have gone home and played in San Francisco, but I don't know, man. I guess maybe he thought of his power numbers and maybe thought that it was better off. He was better off staying and playing in that Mickey Mouse ballpark at Yankee Stadium. That
favors his hitting
instead of San Francisco, which is definitely not a right-handed hitter's park or any hitter's park really for that matter. That's a pitcher's park or,
right. Or Petco.
Petco's a pitcher's park as well. One of the worst ones.
Yeah.
So maybe he was thinking of his own power numbers for legacy, or maybe he just genuinely likes New York. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess he's beloved in New York. Obviously, this year, certainly proved that in terms of his chase of Roger Maris's record. But I fully expected the Yankees to come in and Godfather offer any other deal on the table. For them to be a low bidder and still get it just had me scratching my head. I was what did they have on the guy? But you're right, the ballpark is what they had on the guy. That clearly,
well, it could be that
favorable place
be
to play, but it is interesting to pass up the chance to go home. Or San Diego's a beautiful climate as well, right?
It
like
could just be the place their play. Their plan on what they're they shared their plan with him on what they were planning on doing in free agency, right? Maybe they said, hey, we're gonna go out there and we're gonna get another really good infielder, because it sounds like they're in on Carlos Correa, and they could have told him, hey, we're gonna go out there and get another really good pitcher, and they're in on Carlos Rodon. So maybe it's they told him, hey, we're gonna go and get these guys or be in on these guys, but you can't, we cannot have you taking as much money as the max. Maybe that's what it is, because I mean that's an argument you hear in hockey circles all the time, is that players know, because there's not really a salary cap in baseball, but there basically is with the way non-Steve Cohen owners treat the luxury tax. It's entirely possible that, they could have said, hey, we only have this many more million dollars to spend per year. if you take a haircut, we can go and add these two players. You know?
Right.
Maybe he, and you, maybe he didn't or couldn't get those assurances from any of the other clubs he spoke to. I'm not sure, but that's a entirely a plausible situation.
Yeah. So, and it was Aaron Judge who signed, not Arson Judge. I don't
that's
know if you
right.
saw.
Yeah. Heyman is a clown. I mean, we've talked about him for.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
You know, he continually does this kind of weird stuff and it's very bootlicky for the owners. And but it was kind of disappointing because I went to bed thinking that Aaron Judge was a giant, you know, because normally he doesn't say like so-and-so has signed for somewhere unless he knows that so-and-so is signed for somewhere. I, you know, you can't trust his opinion on anything or like his speculation on anything. But like normally if he says something has happened, it's happened. So I went to bed thinking Judge was a Giant and woke up to him being a Yankee. And let me tell you, that was a real bad disappointment.
Yeah. I, you know, it's funny. I did. We're talking about kind of people carrying water for the league, John Heyman being one of them. I do appreciate that there are some people out there who are not carrying water for the league. I tweeted a link from Eugene Friedman, who's a union lawyer who writes about baseball labor relations. And he's the counsel of the president for the National Air Transportation Organization. I thought put out a pretty devastating response to the fact that the Padres were in this Aaron Judge thing for a huge amount of money. And then they eventually made the deal with Xander Bogaerts for 11 years and $280 million. He said, there are two baseball leagues. It's not the haves and have nots, as many in the media would have you believe. It's actually those who choose to compete and the profiteers. The Padres are showing their revenue can support a $200+ million payroll. Your teams can too. Even that one.
Well, I mean, it's kind of damning that quote comes out like a week and a half after the Braves books get published too, right? Because the Braves are the only publicly traded
baseball team. Yes, of course, because they're the only ones who have to show their books.
Yeah, so they have to show their books. And to see that like the amount of revenue that the Braves had showed that they could support, in theory, a payroll up to $290 million, which is far above what they're paying right now,
mm-hmm.
and still be incredibly profitable at that point too. Right. So like these teams are just, they're not spending the money because they don't want to. It's not because they can't. If any of the owners cry poor, they're wrong. They can all afford it.
No, they're pocketing the money. And as he says, profiteers, like the Brewers are, you know, selling off all their assets. They, I think their total payroll right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they have committed to 7 people.
And that's embarrassing.
It's 22, 30. It's under 40 million right now. 22 of that's to Christian Yelich. 8.25 is to Jesse Winker. And then you've got 3.7, 3.6, 1.8, 1.4, and 1.2. That's their current roster.
That's a sad state of affairs, Mike.
Right?
Oh, I feel bad for the people of the cheese state. That's bad.
Yeah. And it's really astonishing, some of these teams. And then, you know, we're kind of seeing this in Chicago too, with the Cubs and the White Sox, right? Like the Jose Abreu signing elsewhere. And then the Cubs and the White Sox, not necessarily really ever being in on something like a Judge or some of the biggest names.
That's fair. They're not playing like the big boys in the yard. I was going to say that they have, the Cubs
Chicago
have made some signings.
It's made some signings, but they're not like,
no,
they're not chasing any of the big names.
No. Yeah, I mean, they really should. But I mean, they're Boston is kind of going lowballing people too, I've heard too. Like their offer on for Xander Bogaerts was 4 years, $90 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an offer, man.
No, not when it was 280.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's good to see that they're paying out money that a lot of teams are putting out the big money this year. And maybe when those teams start winning, the owners who are being cheap will understand that, like, you know, all you have to do is take a look at the Padres. They pay the money. They win a boatload of games. They are packed on weeknights.
Mm.
Like when you see like a Wednesday night baseball game on ESPN, like it's at Petco. It's sold out on a weeknight. Like that just should show you everything you need to know.
Well, the other, I apologize because I can't remember who I have seen such a flurry of baseball tweets in the last little bit that if I don't screenshot it, I can't necessarily remember and bring it back up. But only two teams in the last like 20 years with a like league low payroll have played in the World Series. That it's, you know, the Royals in 2015, and I think it was the 2017 Astros, and like one team like swan dived after that, and the other team instantly became a much more expensive team because they started paying a bunch of players that they had drafted young and then had to start paying for.
I mean, this is a story as old as time. You pay since money has become a more integral part of baseball than back when players were basically slaves. You know, it's the teams that spend the money that end up winning the titles. Money does in fact correlate to success. I mean, it does. It's not a guarantee
mm-hmm.
because there have been Mets teams in the past that spent a ton of money and didn't succeed. And, you know,
some Yankees teams that spent,
I mean, a lot of Yankees teams, right? I mean, they haven't won since 2009. They have one title in the past 20 years, like the Yankees, you know,
but they're always in contention.
And exactly. And they're always packed. And they are the most expensive team and most expensive North American sports team.
Oh, their value. Yeah. Yeah. Like the valuation on the team. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. For me, it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
Well, so the Judge was considered the best outfielder. Number two on the outfielder market was Brandon Nimmo. Also in New York.
Yeah, he went back to the Mets. I was real sad because there was all this noise about him becoming a Jay that the Mets felt like they weren't really in on it. And the Jays were super optimistic. And there was all this stuff from what seemed like Nimmo's camp that was like, he really likes Toronto, which is like, I you know, I guess a fake, but.
Is that the, to drive up the price in New York is the idea?
I got my hopes up so much. And now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to do, Mike?
For an outfielder?
Yes.
So who's remaining? This is the question, right? Top outfielders remaining?
Yeah.
Because it's certainly a need.
It's not. There's not a ton of outfielders out there. It's not a ton, man. Where did I see the tracker? I mean, like the big thought that a lot of people have been talking about, there've been a couple of trades, right? Because the Jays have a surplus of catchers, right? It's less about.
Okay. So it's not necessarily about a free agent, but acquiring someone through.
Brian Reynolds is a name that's come across.
Right. I think you would be very excited at that prospect.
Yeah, I mean, I really like him. I think he's quite a talented player. He hits from both sides of the plate. He put up a 6-win season a couple of years ago. Like, he's not nobody. Like, he's pretty good. Available outfielders, according to Sport Track, Michael Brantley, Will Myers, AJ Pollock.
Andrew Benintendi,
Kevin Kiermaier. Joey Gallo. Profar. Didn't he sign? Oh, no, he hasn't signed yet.
He hasn't signed yet. This is
Robbie Grossman, Corey Dickerson, Tyler Naquin, Raimo Tapia. Like, we're not talking about good ball players here. Like, some okay ones, but like nothing that's really moving your needle. You know, nothing that was worth giving up.
Tommy Pham.
Yeah, I guess he's 35. I don't know. Like, nothing that was worth giving up Teoscar for. You know, part of the selling of the trade of Teoscar Hernandez,
clearing up space,
right? We're getting a good reliever to fix that bullpen that all of you know is a problem. Mm-hmm. And we are clearing up space to make a run at a couple good pieces, a good bat and a good pitcher. And I don't know. We whiffed on Verlander, and it seems like they just shut up shop after that. And they started floating all the, well, you know, we're really content to run out Yusei Kikuchi and Mitch White as our fourth and fifth pitchers, which is distressing. And then, you know, seeing Nimmo go off the board, it's like, well, I mean, it's probably going to have to be a trade that brings in the outfielder. You know, is it Brian Reynolds? Is it Lars Nootbaar with the Cardinals? But the Cardinals just got their catcher, though. So maybe that's out the window. Is it getting Josh Naylor from the Guardians or something, you know, one of their pitchers? Do you go out and get, I don't know, Plesac? Maybe not him, but, you know, one Plesac of the
quality, like,
yeah, they wanted one of their middle-ish middle-ish starting pitchers. And then I don't know what you do for a bat, though. The current Jays outfield, if the season started today, is George Springer, Whit Merrifield, and Lourdes Gurriel, with Kevin Biggio spelling occasionally. That is not friendly. I don't want to watch a full season of that.
No, that definitely, I mean, like you said, the Teoscar move suggested they were going to chase someone else in lieu of that this wasn't going to be the one through four that would ostensibly fill in the outfield.
You have to for go the get season. Somebody. Maybe you get Miguel, like Michael Conforto. I don't know, man.
Conforto is 30 this year. He did sit out the season because of shoulder surgery, though, right?
Yes. But he has obviously with the
Mets signing Nimmo.
Well, he's definitely not got a path back there.
Back to the Mets. That's who he was with before the shoulder surgery. So that's.
Yeah, I don't know.
Looking for a new home in that respect. So.
Maybe Conforto. I don't. These are all like not.
I think you're having to like sell yourself on it. If like you're saying Will Myers, any of these names.
Maybe, but like, no, like, why do we need another right-handed guy who's limited and defensively? Like, I like him, but it's not like he's helping, right? Like, he's perfectly fine. I really like Joey Gallo, but I think Joey Gallo wants to stay in LA. I'm not sure what Benintendi's plan is, but he's probably the best of the bunch after that. But that means he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's in his 28-year-old season and probably the best remaining now that Nimmo and Judge are sewn up.
Yeah, put up 2.8 wins above replacement last year. He's good. But is,
you know, all-star last year, his first all-star nod.
He's a good player. But like, you know, he's not the Nimmo kind of quality of outfielder that you're going to hang your hat on as an off-season acquisition. Like, you can tell your fans, oh, look, we got Andrew Benintendi, but
it's not, a splashy, like, first page of the sports section.
No.
Hurrah, like, hurrah us.
He put up less than half of Nimmo's wins above replacement last year and has done pretty similarly at every season Nimmo's been healthy. Like, Nimmo's literally double the player. And, you know, he's I don't know. I really like Brandon Nimmo. I think he's a tremendous player. And I think the Jays, I think a lot of teams are going to be sad that they missed out on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the rest of this list is a lot of guys you're just having to talk yourself into.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, you're looking past a few things. If you're getting excited about them, I think, like, whether it's age or past performance or whatever.
Yeah.
You mentioned Verlander. Obviously, Steve Cohen, the one major league owner who does not care about what market he's in. He's in a market of one, I guess, is the thing.
And, I'm so glad, you know?
You know, it's kind of great because he's shaking things up, right? Like, he's really got the DGAF vibe going.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is the best available? Is the Cy Young winner available? Great. I want him.
Yeah, and it's like, it's kind of embarrassing when you see that, like, it's very embarrassing for other owners where it'll be like, oh, here's this guy who really just wants to win baseball games, who is paying more in luxury tax than six or seven of you are in your actual salaries to players because he actually wants to win. I don't know. I hope that's what ends up happening. What I think is going to end up happening is they're just going to laugh at him for being a sucker and paying them to be worse.
Well, I mean, so the moves they've made. So it's not just Nimmo and Verlander. Edwin Diaz signed a deal, 5-year deal. David Robertson signed a 1-year deal. Jose Quintana signed a 2-year deal. They've been busy.
They've been buying a lot of lottery tickets. Like, Robertson and Quintana are definitely, I would say, lottery tickets. We don't know what we're getting from those guys next year.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But you're two cheap scratch tickets with, you know,
Robertson's a $10 million reliever. That's not super cheap.
I don't think that's an unwieldy amount for a reliever right now.
Huh. I wouldn't say unwieldy, but I definitely think it's on the elite side, maybe.
I guess that's possible.
I do think he's good, but he also has been bad lately, and he is old. I'm hoping he does well. The Mets obviously see something in him, so I'm interested to see what the plan is, because the Mets seem to be indulging on a lot of older players. And I wonder if that will pan out in the playoffs, if they can make it there.
Oh, you think they might run out of gas? This is like the
or just in injuries.
Oh, okay. I mean,
right? Like, they have a lot of guys who have been injured.
Just going through their current lineup. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some guys that have been injured, but I don't think it's necessarily like out of step with most rosters, right? Like, it's not.
I guess that's fair.
Particularly injury prone crew. I mean, obviously, Scherzer and Verlander have had some injury bugs, but no more than any like workhorse starting pitcher.
Yeah, Verlander was the one that shocked me. He basically played every single season, has pitched at least 130 innings in every single season except the one he missed with surgery.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers. That's so cool, man. Like, how awesome is that? Like, that I've been watching this guy pitch since I'm going to make you feel old, Mike.
Okay.
I've been watching this guy pitch since I was in junior high. Like, that's how cool it is. Like, his rookie season was 2006. I was in junior high that year. It's my last year. It was grade 9.
Nice. Yep. That put me in my place for a second. I just have to take a moment and reflect on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to bury you live on air.
No, it's cool, because I think very shortly after he started pitching, was an adult who went to see him at Comerica. So,
well, I mean, it just, for me, he's just been so good for so long, you know?
Oh, he's like he was pitching on the same squad as Cliff Lee in that season, and Cliff Lee is like since retired. And
oh goodness, yeah.
Had like a couple different stops before that. But I encourage
people to go watch. There's a Foolish Baseball does a really good episode on the impossible inning of Justin Verlander. Where he just like defies his own spin rate and velocity when he is already over 100 pitches in the eighth inning of a game. And it's special. It's special to see the breakdown of the math and just like understand what a competitor Verlander is.
You know what, while you're talking there, I was just looking up just to kind of see some of the stuff about the Mets here. Part of the reason they made the move for Robertson, almost their entire bullpen was up for free agency.
Yes. Yeah.
They had 7 pitchers come up for free agency.
That's a lot of pitchers.
Yeah. So Edwin Diaz was obviously the key signing there, but they traded for Brooks Raley and then added Robertson into the mix, but they still have holes in that bullpen to fill. Because Ottavino, Lugo, Williams, Rodriguez, and May were all free agents. And so who knows if any of them will come back. But yeah, that was something I was just kind of looking up in the background while we were talking there.
That's quite a shift. I mean, I like that strategy because I've mentioned before that relievers are all a crapshoot. So why in the world would you stick with one? Like just switch constantly.
Just keep swapping it out and see what
you can see what you can get a hit and how long you can get a hit off of them. Yeah.
Philly signed Trey Turner. That was a
huge deal.
Huge deal.
Huge. That's so cool for Philly. They got an even better. That's exciting.
Which is, it's great for that NL East too, right? Like that no one has given up and said, oh, Steve Cohen's just like writing all the checks, so we're not going to do anything.
No, the Braves are gearing up and the Phillies are gearing up. Like, that's going to be a Thunderdome next year. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be, I mean, and obviously, yeah, adding a bat like Turner's to that.
And his glove, too. That's the one that makes me more excited. Trey Turner is a phenomenal defender at multiple positions. He's a plus defender at short, second, and center field.
Oh, I hadn't realized he was plus at all three.
A terrible defensive team like the Phillies can use an incredibly versatile plus defender at three prime positions. Like, that's huge. That helps more in my mind for them. I mean, his bat is obviously massive, but that glove helps them so much.
That's pretty great. So now that they're out on Aaron Judge, apparently the Giants are ready to back the truck up for Carlos Correa.
That's what I've heard too. The Padres seem similarly interested in Correa. You got to see a lot of Correa this past year on the Twins. Do you think he's worth it?
I thought he was all right for the Twins. He started off a little cold and then got his bat in shape. And certainly he's still a plus defender, at least I feel. And I mean, but I guess, does the Bogart signing for the Padres suggest that they're not in on Correa though?
Essentially.
Right. Like that's, it's much.
But their infield is so flexible, right?
So you're thinking that they conceivably shift things around and they're not going to put Bogarts at short,
or well, yeah, because
Correa
they don't,
might play
something similar to that, because like they lost Bell, right? Bell went to go play for Cleveland,
right?
So you know, they can, Cronenworth has played first in the past. You could move Cronenworth to first, right? Mm-hmm. And then you could have Correa at short, Bogarts at second. And then you play Soto in the outfield and Machado at third. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
So apparently this is, I guess, Aaron Gleeman and Dan Hayes, The Athletic, reporting that Correa is looking to top the $300 million deal that Trey Turner signed with the Phillies.
Good luck with that one, Blake.
Lindor's $341 million deal with the Mets to make him the highest paid shortstop. Twins obviously have never made a deal anything close to that in the past. But there is some thought that they'll still try to retain him. It may not be for as long a period, but, you know, a couple years at high money. But the Giants, I guess this is just because of missing out on Judge. And then obviously now with San Diego getting Bogarts, they don't have a guy. They haven't had a key signing or like a marquee, right? Like we talk about, you know, when you go to the ballpark for one of these teams and you see like the face on the banner, like,
yeah,
they haven't had that guy.
Jason Giambis.
Right. In Moneyball, right? Like that. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, since Buster Posey retired, no, right? Like you've got guys who have been good for them in the past. You've got Brandon Crawford. You know, you've got Jock Peterson. You've got Mike Yastrzemski. You know, those guys are okay, right? Like they're guys that I'm sure that Giants fans are pumped to see play baseball. But, you know, no, to answer your question, I don't think they have the big poster names anymore, right?
No.
Like,
well, time will tell if they get Carlos Correa, but time is running out for the show. Before we go, what's on the pity party?
It's my year-end episode, so I'm reviewing, well, not really reviewing, but playing a lot of my favorite songs off my favorite albums for 2020. So tune in to hear that. Lots of good stuff, including Joyce Manor, Pine Grove, The Wonder Years, Mom Jeans, Pup, and a surprise where I talk about an album and a band that I've kind of has been slowly creeping further and further up my year-end list because it's just such a fantastic album. So tune in to find out who that is.
There's a good tease. That's coming up at 1 p.m. We'll be back here on the Bench Jockeys. Thanks for tuning in and have a great afternoon.
Strike three, you're out.